السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, inshallah we continue with the series of lectures related to Ramadan, and today I'm beginning a part of that series called Reflect on the Quran. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by glorifying Him, as it is His right to be praised and glorified. We do that with the understanding that we are not capable of fulfilling that right, but we do our best and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover our mistakes and faults and to fulfill the deficiencies and to accept our praise for Him in a way that pleases Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. And he said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhnihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. And he said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself in His words. He praised Himself in His words. He glorified Himself in His words. And to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no words which are better than that. There is no hamd, there is no nasheed which can be written by anyone which is better than the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Himself, because no one knows Allah better than Allah knows Himself. And no one has the power of kalam the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power of kalam. So asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah. The most truthful speech is the book of Allah. Ajmalul hadithi kitab Allah. The most beautiful speech is the kitab of Allah. Akbarul hadithi kitab Allah. The glorious and the best and the greatest of speech is the kitab of Allah. Ahsanul hadithi kitab Allah. And the best and most beautiful of speeches is the kitab of Allah. I remind myself and you to get connected with that book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About this month of Ramadan al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, شَهَرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي يُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرَانُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this month of Ramadan is the month in which was revealed the Qur'an, a guidance for all of mankind. Hudal lin-nas. and clear proofs for this guidance. It's not mythology, it's not blind belief. It is belief with evidence. And it is the criterion between right and wrong. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that we have a universal religion. Our religion is the only religion which is universal. Our Rabb, the one we worship, is not Rabbul Muslimin, he is Rabbul Alameen. The Kitab he sent is not Hudallil Muslimin, it is Hudallil Nas. And it is Hudallil Muttaqeen, for anyone who has taqwa. And the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with whom he sent this book, did not come for these people. He didn't come only for Muslims. He didn't come as Rahmatul Lil Muslimin. He came as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. We have a religion which is truly universal. If only we understand. Afala taqilun. Since it is this month of Ramadan, we listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Taraweeh and read more of it than we normally do. But let us ask ourselves how much we reflect on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us. How much do we take away? How much it changes us, as it undoubtedly has the power to do. How tragic if we approach the Quran and get nothing more than the sound of its recitation, and sometimes not even that. How tragic is that? That the only thing you go away is with the sound of the recitation. And sometimes not even that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned, and he said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. In Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do they not reflect on the Quran? Or are their hearts locked up? Do their hearts have kufl, akhfal? Do they have locks on them? But what is the Quran? My brothers and sisters, 14 centuries ago, a window opened in the heavens and God spoke to man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the revelation of his message to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This revelation continued for 23 years from that day and ended when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, never to be resumed until the end of time. It was not the first time that this had happened, but it was to be the last. So it contained information which was not only new, but which was also what humanity would need to live, to prosper and to flourish as long as the earth exists. It also contained in it information which no amount of scientific development can ever bring us. Information about a world whose existence mankind always suspected, but could never know for sure. A world that they saw everyone going into, but nobody returning to tell others what there was. A world we enter through a door called death. An entry that we have no control over, but which we know we have to make. The Quran not only told us about that, but told us about what would happen to us thereafter. And how, very importantly, and how we could control that at will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it into our hands to write our own destiny with respect to Jannah or Jahannam. Whoever goes to Jannah goes because he chose to go to Jannah. Whoever goes to Jahannam goes because he chose to go to Jahannam. Allah does not force anyone into Jannah or into Jahannam. The Quran is the actual speech of Allah Jalla Jalalu. It is not the meaning of what he said. It is not Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's understanding of what Allah said. It is the actual speech of Allah. But the big question is, are we listening? My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you and myself that listening is different from hearing. Because listening is the result of understanding, not merely registering sound. So do we understand what we hear? The Quran is the spoken word. It came as the spoken word. It did not come as a piece of paper with something written on it. And that's why listening to it is the most powerful way of approaching it. The Quran enters first the heart, then the mind. First, it connects the spirit, then the intellect. First, it wakes us up, and then tells us what we need to hear. So let us ask if we are still asleep after listening to the Quran for the last 10 days of Ramadan, or if we are awake. And you know where the answer will come from? Our hard hearts will tell us. Our dry eyes will tell us. Our fearless lives of disobedience will tell us. Our hurtling towards our own destruction while reciting the recipe for rescue will tell us. So let us ask ourselves, for there is none so destitute as the one who looked upon a treasure but returned empty-handed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the power of His kalam, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, had we sent this Qur'an on a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself and rending asunder by the fear of Allah. Such are the parables and the examples which we put forward to mankind, that they may reflect. And then in those famous ayat which we all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself, and He said, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Huwa Allahul Khaliqul Bariul Musawwiru lahul asmaul husna. Yusabbihu lahu ma fis samawati wal ard. Wa huwal azizul hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the effect of His kalam on the hearts of the believers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He said in Surah Al-Anfal, the believers are only those. Listen and listen carefully, people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing a criterion. He is establishing a standard. He is showing us a mirror and saying, here is a picture, look at it, is it yours? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers are only those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, they feel a fear in their hearts. Their hearts shiver with the awe and majesty of Allah. وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And when His ayat, وَتُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and when His ayat, the Quran, is recited unto them, these ayat increase their faith. زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their iman increases. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they put their trust and tawakkul in their Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. We have been shown the picture. Let us see whether it is our picture, or whether it's a picture that looks completely different from what we are. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the mizdaq of these ayat. and to make us those about whom these ayat were sent, and to make us those that when this criterion is applied, that we will not be found wanting. Let us ask if any of this happens to us, and if it doesn't, then is it a matter of concern? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one of the personal and favorite students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who dedicated his entire life only to learning from him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, the dryness of the eyes is a sign of the hardness of the heart. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fire of Jahannam haram on two kinds of eyes. The eye that weeps for the glory and magnificence of Allah, and the eye that stays awake for the protection of the Muslims. Let us ask if we fit, if our eyes fit, if our hearts fit, if our lives fit. Or is it that our eyes weep listening to poetry, listening to a ghazal, listening to dirges and sad music, but the kalam of Allah leaves us untouched? Yet we find nothing strange in that. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the ignorant cattle, and He said they are worse than cattle. Do we reflect on the fact that we are listening to the actual speech of Allah revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Creator to the best of His creation? Do we reflect on the fact that what we are listening to are the exact words that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which the world heard for the very first time in His voice sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we reflect on the fact that this message contains information that is critical and crucial to our success in this world and the next? And are we eager to know? Are we aware as we recite that Allah is listening to us in real time on His arsh and is mentioning us by name to those who are around Him? Are we overwhelmed by this knowledge? Do we fall in sujood, in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He listened, that He chose to respond? Are we aware that what we are reciting and hearing in salah is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, and the sahaba who were witness to that revelation were listening to it in the voice of the best qari that ever lived, because he was the one to whom it was revealed? And are we excited by that? Or are we those who a curse can transform? If somebody curses us, it brings about physiological changes in us. It raises our blood pressure. It increases our heart rate. It changes the color of our face. We foam at the mouth. Our behavior changes. Our language changes. We forget who we are. We enter a temporary state of madness and insanity. But the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves us completely unmoved, completely untouched, completely untransformed. Do we reflect on the fact that this word is the most truthful word that can ever exist? That it is protected in its exactness, in its meaning, and in its application by the one who spoke it? Do we reflect on the fact that this Quran changed the people who were despised in the world and made them into role models who were looked up to? Do we reflect on the fact that this Quran transformed people and changed their destination from Jahannam to Jannah? And then do we ask, but what is it doing for me? Do we ask, what is it doing for me? Do we reflect on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned us in the Quran and also mentioned what will happen to each of us depending on the qualities that He mentioned? And then, as is the demand of intelligence, do we search for ourselves in the Quran? Do we reflect on the fact that the Quran is shifa, a cure for illnesses both of the body and, much more importantly, a cure for the most serious of illnesses, the illness of nifaq, of hypocrisy. And then, do we seek that cure before it is too late? Do we reflect on the fact that the Quran teaches us how to ask Allah? And then do we ask Allah as He told us to ask and see the result of our dua being accepted? Do we reflect on the fact that the Quran gives solace to the bereaved, comfort to the aggrieved, safety from danger, takes away our fears and anxieties? And then do we seek these things from the Quran before we run to anyone else for help? Do we learn to read the Quran properly according to its rules? And do we teach our children ourselves? Are you the sheikh of your son or daughter? Are you the ustad of your son and daughter? And if you are not, at least are you ashamed about that? At least are you ashamed that you are not the teacher of your own child? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So do we teach our children ourselves, or do we hire a poor imam for a pittance and leave it to him to teach our children, while ourselves not even having the knowledge to judge if that imam is doing the job correctly or not? Do we take pride in the course of study that our child is doing in a worldly sense? Do we tell the people that my son or my daughter is a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer, or this or that? Yet we feel no sense of shame whatsoever that our child cannot read the Quran properly, cannot lead 2 rakat of salah. And when we die, that child will not be able to lead our own salatul janazah. And we are not even ashamed of this. It is not even a matter of concern for us. And we call ourselves Muslim. My brothers and sisters, I ask you this question. Do our children listen to us reciting the Quran at home? Or is that not a part of their memory at all? How many people are here who never heard the Quran recited in the voice of their father or their mother? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to humiliate you or your parents. But you know and I know that there are people sitting in this very masjid who never heard the kalam of Allah recited by their own parents. And you know and I know that many of you are sitting here alive who have never recited the kalam of Allah aloud in your voice, which your children can take away as a memory. Who do you want to blame for that? Who do you want to blame for that? How many of our homes are there? How many of our homes are palaces outwardly? They're palaces outwardly. Italian marble on the floor. Swarovski chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. Persian carpets covering the Italian marble. Draperies of brocade. Furniture from all over the place. Gadgets and appliances like you won't believe. Smart homes. Intelligent buildings. But idiotic people. Foolish people. Because those draperies and those chandeliers and those carpets and those walls will recall and remember and bear witness to the ghazal parties that you used to have, to the songstresses that you used to call and listen to them singing haram in a haram voice. And those draperies and those walls and every brick in that wall will bear witness to the fact that all its existence, it yearned to listen to the kalam of Allah. But that, you never granted it. You deprived it of that.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
How many of our homes are bereft of the sound of the kalam of Allah? Our voices reciting His kalam are not a part of the memories of our children. They will remember us for many reasons, some good, some bad, but never because they used to hear us reciting the kalam of Allah in the dead of the night when the world was asleep. My brothers and sisters, listen and listen carefully. How many of us have children who come to us and say to us, Mummy, Baba, make dua for me, because I am in difficulty. Make dua for me because I am in difficulty and I know your connection with Allah. So ask Him for me. Ask Him for me. And then, how many of us are there who can then look at the heavens and raise their hands and say, Oh Allah, give because I am asking. Give because I am asking. Give because you only can give. And I will not leave you until you give.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
My brothers and sisters, so how can we change this? And how can we make this salah, this taraweeh, this way of listening to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a matter of great joy, a matter of rejuvenating the spirit, a matter of strengthening the heart and connecting us to the only one who has the power to change our lives and to make us winners in both worlds? We can do this by praying deliberately, not mechanically. Please reflect on the importance of niyyah in salah. Why is it necessary to make niyyah? Who are we making the niyyah for? Does Allah not know what we are doing? The niyyah is so that we remind ourselves of what we are about to do, and to do it deliberately, consciously, thankfully, with a sense of awe and gratitude to be able to stand in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflect on what you are doing, where you are sitting, where shortly you will be standing, before whom you will be standing, before whom you will speak to, and the fact that He is listening and the fact that He is responding. My brothers and sisters, I cannot possibly overemphasize the importance of connecting to Allah. The salah is the tool to do that. But sadly, even in salah, our attention wanders, and we have made salah a mechanical thing to be performed. Allah used the term established. Allah says iqamati salah, aqimus salah. Allah did not say perform salah. He didn't say read salah. He didn't say read namaz. He didn't say make salah. Allah said establish salah. But we perform salah. We insist on performing, and that's why it's a performance. And the dhikr of Allah and obedience to Him is never established in our lives, although we pray all our lives. So let us see how we can change this situation so that salah becomes a tool to solve all our problems in this life and becomes an intercessor for us in our graves and on the day of judgment. We can only connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by responding to His kalam. How can we connect if we are dead to the speech of Allah, if we don't respond? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect of His kalam on a mountain if it were sent down on it. Please reflect. As I mentioned, we respond even to a curse, but we don't respond to the word of Allah. What does that say about the state of our hearts? It's only if we reflect on the Quran that we can reach a stage where we are responsive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, to begin with, I thought I would take as a pointer the surah which we recite most often, the surah we recite in every salah, in every rakat, and without which the salah is not complete and not accepted. The Suratul Fatiha, the Ummul Quran, the opening chapter of the Quran, the introduction to the Quran, the crown, the jewel in the crown that was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seven most repeated ayat. Let us reflect on what we say when we recite this glorious surah, so that we can remember this when we recite it, and we can remember this when we listen to its recitation, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to connect with Him by means of the surah of the Quran. Let us reflect on the hadith Qudsi, which is narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, where on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided salah, I have divided prayer. In this case, this means Suratul Fatiha. I have divided prayer between myself and my slave into two halves, into two parts. And my slave shall have what he asked for. Listen to this hadith very carefully and keep this in mind when we read, when we stand for Jummah inshallah. I will recite for you the whole surah first, and then very quickly we will go as per this hadith, ayah by ayah inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The Ameen is from us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the slave says Ameen and the Malaika say Ameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the sins. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided the salah between myself and my slave into two halves. And my slave shall have what he asked for. When the slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. There is a conversation, there is a response. Allah says, my slave has praised me. Hamidani Abdi. And when the slave says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ithna Alayya Abdi, my slave has extolled me, he has glorified me. And when the slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani Abdi, my slave has glorified me. And then the slave says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at this point, the slave says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. O Allah, only you I worship. And only you I ask for help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. Allah says, this from now is between me and my slave. And whatever he asks me, I will give him. Ajeeb, huh? Ajeeb. How did we grow up? No one told us all this. Strange. Mechanical. We are like robots. Yes. Give a chabi and we go round until the battery runs out and that's it, finished. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Here we are talking to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding. And Allah is saying, what is closer? What is more of a gesture than Allah saying, now this is between me and you. Whatever you ask, I will give you. What is the value of that? And then the slave says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Amen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. This is between me and my slave. And whatever he asks me, I will give him. It is for this reason that in deference to the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite this surah ayah by ayah. He did not recite this surah continuously. He recited it ayah by ayah. My brothers and sisters, I'm not even going to begin the surah today. Inshallah, we'll do this over the next few Jumas. But I want to end by reminding myself and you, let us reflect simply on two things. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually listening and responding in real time to us when we pray and recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term abdi. Hatha baini wa baina abdi. Allah says, use the term abdi, my slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used a term which was more distant. Allah did not use a term which was more distant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term which is the closest to him. Who is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applied this term to first? Who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say abdi about? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami' al-basir. Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of Isra wal Mi'raj, where Allah gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the gift of Salah. And thanks to him, we got this gift of Salah. The ability to directly connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah called us. He mentioned the person praying, Abdi, my slave. My brothers and sisters, that way of address alone is enough to send the one who understands what he is doing and who reflects on this hadith into a state of ecstatic joy, into raptures of delight, into wajd to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he worships a living God who is real and who listens to him and who responds to him and who responds to him in such an affectionate and personal manner. I ask you, what more can you ask? Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Two requests for dua. One request for the maghfirat of our brother Abdul Fahim Khan.